The views expressed on AM360 by the host, hostesses, or guests are their own, and not necessarily the position of AM360 or the parent corporation, the Community-Wide Sure Conference, CWSC Incorporated. AM360 content is intended as a community service and is not designed to provide specific and personal medical, financial, or legal counsel or other professional advice, and no liability shall extend to the host or hostesses of AM360 or CWSC. We encourage you to consult an advisor for your specific circumstances.
You have listened to us over 500,000 times. American Muslim 360.
That's interesting.
Assalamu alaikum. This is American Muslim 360 radio broadcast.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Ar-rahmanir rahim. مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
American Muslim 360 is
too legit.
We will never quit. American Muslim 360, your number one Muslim radio station.
You can't touch this. You can't touch this.
Community-wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360 invites you to promote your organization or event on the number one Islamic radio station in the nation. Affordable rates allow you to promote your event and strengthen our national intelligentsia network. Contact corporate underwriting today at cwsconline@gmail.com. That's cwsconline@gmail.com. Or call 910-317-0297. Again, 910-317-0297. Together we can remake the world.
Assalamu alaikum and good morning, everyone. Let's begin with prayer. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. Wassalatu wassalam ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala Ali sabi ajma'in. Again, everyone, good morning and assalamu alaikum. May peace be upon you. This is Edward Ahmed Mitchell, the Executive Director of CARE Georgia, the Georgia chapter of the Council on American Islamic Relations. I hope you're doing well. Thank you for joining CARE, the Civil Rights Hour. Today is March 13th, 2019, and I hope you all are doing well, inshallah. I can't believe we're almost 3 months in a year. It's almost Ramadan. May Allah allow us to reach and complete it and allow us to make this show successful. So for those of you joining us for the first time, CARE on Air, the Civil Rights Hour, is a radio program with American Muslim 360. Our goal is to cover some current event related to the Muslim community every week to keep you updated on current events, to discuss a detailed legal issue that may be relevant to the Muslim community, and then to take questions about those or other issues. So, alhamdulillah, we really appreciate AM360 inviting us to join their lineup, and we hope that this program will continue to grow and improve, inshallah. Today, we're going to discuss, I think, for most of our time, discussing a case we're working on here in Georgia that really dovetails to the broader national conversation and debate that's been going on over the past few months about America and its relationship and American opinions about Israel Palestine and the situation there, the occupation of Palestinian territory and all the political and religious and human rights and free speech issues that are involved in that issue, both there and over here. So here in the state of Georgia, we've got a bit of a controversy that exploded last week. There's a middle school that has a multicultural night every year, and during the multicultural night, they invite students of various backgrounds to set up display booths, exhibits celebrating their various cultures and nationalities and backgrounds. And so the issue occurred because students this year and last year created a booth, an exhibit celebrating Palestinian culture, Palestinian history, with approval from the school. Last year, went out, it was signed. Many people visited the exhibit, had some Palestinian falafel, no issues whatsoever. This year, went well again. It was approved. People came by, enjoyed it. No problem. It was a great exhibit. I should also note the school has improved many other exhibits from many other cultures and backgrounds, including in the prior years in Israel, an exhibit about Israel that featured Israeli food, Israeli flags, information about Israel, and a map of Israel. So the issue arose the day after this event at the school. Apparently someone there complained, posted a picture of the Palestine exhibit online, and that sparked criticism to the school, especially criticism of a map that was in the exhibit that appeared to show the state of Palestine, where the state of Israel would normally exist. And obviously, members of the local Jewish community, some of them got very upset about that and assumed that it was meant as a political statement or about the current status of borders in the Middle East. So the school, sadly, instead of looking into this, gathering the facts about this information, the school released a statement very quickly condemning the exhibit and whoever set it up, promising to find them and to take action against them, even though the school approved this and knew who set up the exhibit because the school approved it, and in fact the principal of the school was at cultural night. Anyway, as a result of that, kids at the school started getting in arguments, started getting harassed online, being bullied. There was a news article published that quoted local religious leaders referring to these kids and their families as terrorists, supportive of the terrorists, as anti-Semitic, pro-Hamas, all this other vile stuff. And so it turned into a really ugly situation very quickly. So CARE Georgia, we were contacted by the families. We decided to get involved and try to clear this up. We also teamed up with Jewish Voice for Peace and local Palestinian Christian leaders. Yesterday, after we spent a few days gathering as many facts as we could, and after reaching out to the school system, we have a press conference here in Georgia where we addressed what actually happened, laid out the facts, and took questions from the media. And alhamdulillah, I think the situation is now simmering down, calming down. It looks like nothing's going to happen to the kids because they did nothing wrong. Looks like there are going to be meetings between the school officials, us, the families, as well as hopefully the local Jewish community to clear the air, build some bridges, and turn this into a teachable moment. It doesn't mean everyone's going to agree at the end of the day, but we can at least disagree without being disagreeable and understand each other's opinions and respect each other's opinions and not try to use the government to silence each other, much less accuse each other of being bigots. So what I'm going to do is allow you to listen to the press conference we held yesterday. And then I'll pause it a little way in so we can break for PSAs, and then we'll listen to the end of it, and then we'll take any questions about this or other issues, inshallah. So I'm going to play that for you now, inshallah. And this, just speaking, it's going to be me, Edward Ahmed Mitchell, Dr. Elise Cohen, who's the director of Jewish Voice for Peace here in Atlanta, and Reverend Fahad Abu Akil, who is a Palestinian Christian and was the first Arab American elected to lead the Presbyterian Church here in the United States.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon. My name is Edward Ahmed Mitchell. I'm an attorney here in Atlanta. Good afternoon. My name is Edward Ahmed Mitchell. I'm an attorney here in Atlanta, where I serve as the executive director of CARE Georgia. That is the Georgia chapter of the Council of American Islamic Relations. CARE Georgia is part of our nation's largest civil rights organization. I'm here today with Dr. Activist, professor, and the director of Jewish Voice for Peace Atlanta. JVP Atlanta advocates for Jewish values and peace and justice both here and abroad. I'm also here with a very special guest, Reverend Dr. Fahad Abu Akil, who is a Palestinian Christian leader, longtime resident of Atlanta, and was the first Arab American elected moderator of the American Presbyterian Church. I'm very honored to have you with us, Reverend. We've gathered here today on behalf of multiple students at Autry Mill Middle School in Alpharetta, as well as their families. Over the past week, these students have been experiencing bullying and online harassment, the because of information that was released about a Palestinian cultural exhibit displayed at multicultural items last week. We hear that it has set the record straight, share additional details, and hopefully to find a positive way to move forward for everyone in this community. First, let me lay out some background about this situation. Over the past several years, Entre Mille Little has done something very positive. They have held a multicultural night for students and families and staff at their school. As part of this annual event, they welcome students and families to set up cultural exhibits that celebrate and inform the public about different aspects of their various cultures and cultures. The school specifically encourages students to bring food, artifacts, and to share information about their various cultures and backgrounds and nationalities, whether you're Israeli, Palestinian, Korean, British, whatever, everyone is welcome to participate. And that is exactly what these young, these Palestinian-American students at Autry Mill Middle School have done with the school's approval over the past 2 years. They set up a cultural display about the Palestinian culture and Palestinian history. This exhibit featured Palestinian cuisine, hummus and falafel, Palestinian flags, Palestinian cartoon drawing, and a map of historic Palestine as it existed from 1920 to 1948 under British government. Now, this exhibit, as I said, was set up with full approval from the school last year and this year. It was also very popular. Over 300 people passed by the exhibit, saw it, partook in the food, and no one complained on the night of the event either last year or this year. However, after the event, one person apparently posted a picture of a part of the exhibit on the internet, social media. That sparked online criticism. The school apparently was inundated with some critical messages the next morning. And within 12 hours, instead of gathering more facts, the school issued a public statement to the media condemning whoever set up the exhibit, even though they knew who set up the exhibit, and promising to identify them and to take action against them. Now, that action on the part of the school turned what was a simple misunderstanding into a public spectacle, and it put a target on the back of these young Palestinian-American kids and Muslim kids, and anyone who looks Muslim at that school. We've heard of 6th graders, 7th graders, and 8th graders being harassed and bullied online and at the school over the past few days. And that's why we felt it was important to come out here and set the record straight about what actually happened in this incident and why these kids did nothing wrong. So let me cover three important points. Let me set the record straight with three important points. Number one, the photo. The map. This was the source of most of the criticism of this display. A photo was taken of a map of Palestine that showed the state of Palestine where the state of Israel normally exists. And so people said, well, this family is trying to erase Israel. They're trying to say Israel doesn't exist, all this stuff. Not true. If the school or the community had taken just 5 minutes to reach out to these students and their families, they would know that the map was actually meant to depict the Palestinian and family history, the real history of Palestine when the state existed from 1920 to 1948 under British government. And this is the period when these kids' grandparents actually lived there, and their grandparents were expelled from what was known as Mandatory Palestine in 1948 during the founding of the State of Israel, the war that erupted. In other words, this map and this exhibit was not an act of political commentary. It was part of their family history. It was part of Palestinian history. Recognizing Palestinian history is not an act of bigotry. Neither is recognizing Israeli history. So that's the first thing to know, that this map was not meant to make a political statement. It was not meant to engage in religious or political commentary. It was meant to represent this family history and Palestinian history, real history about the state of Palestine, Mandatory Palestine, that existed from 1920 to 1948. Next thing to know, in addition to this exhibit, the school has multiple times approved an exhibit about Israeli history and culture that was nearly identical to the Palestinian exhibit. The Israeli exhibit contained Israeli food, Israeli flags, information about Israeli history, and a map of the state of Israel that was actually broader than what our own government recognizes as the Israeli borders. And I want to show you this now so you can see what I'm talking about. And again, this is not to be critical of anyone. We believe that Palestinian-American students have the right to celebrate their history, sort of Koreans and Israelis and everyone, but it's just to point out the hypocrisy and the double standard and why this is so very silly. Okay, So there was an Israeli cultural exhibit on the night of this event last week. We don't have photos of that, but we do have these photos from an exhibit at a prior multicultural night. So this is an Israel exhibit, very similar to the Palestinian exhibit. You'll notice here that is a map of the state of Israel. If anyone is a geography expert, you'll know that this map shows the state of Israel. Does not mention Palestine, does not mention Palestinian territory, and includes West Bank and the Gaza Strip and Egypt as part of Israel, even though according to our own State Department, those are occupied Palestinian territories. Thank you. State Department map of Israel.
The school cannot punish these kids, and God willing, the school is not going to punish these kids. They did nothing wrong.
express and share all this information with them, and we said the families and students are willing to meet with school officials to clear the air and also to have a second meeting with concerned community members who object to the map. This morning I heard back from Principal Martin and the superintendent saying they are ready to set up those meetings, so we will be doing that hopefully soon, God willing, and hopefully we'll clear the air, build bridges, and turn this into a teachable moment for all involved. The Muslim community, the Jewish community, the Christian community, even the Israeli and Palestinian community, we have our disagreements, we also have much in common. And we can debate these issues in a fair way. We can debate these issues as adults without accusing each other of being bigots, without trying to use the government to silence each other, and we can leave kids out. Middle school kids do not even need to be debating Israel-Palestine in the media. We can leave the or at school, but we can leave the kids out of it and debate this as adults. That's what needs to happen. But first, we need to heal this community, bring this community back together. That starts by setting the record straight, which is what we hope to do here today. So with that, I said enough. So I'm going to turn it over now to our two guests. One is Dr. Elise Cohen, who, as I said, is an activist, a professor, and the director of Jewish Voice for Peace, which advocates for Jewish values of peace and justice both here and abroad, to share some background, her perspective as a Jewish leader, and then we'll hear from Reverend Dr. Fox.
Thanks, Edward. Liam, taller than me.
No problem.
Okay. So one of the things that I wanted to talk about was how, Edward already said, the family showed a map.
All right, everyone, that was my portion of the press conference yesterday here in Atlanta about this issue. So that was just me summarizing what happened, clarifying some of the misinformation, and sharing some of that with you. The next person speaking is Dr. Elise Cohen, but it's about 11:22, so let me pause. Let's have some PSAs, and then we'll come back and continue listening to the press conference and then maybe take questions about this issue and how it really symbolizes a broader debate and sensitivity that's happening and being broken down about talking about Israel-Palestine or across the country. So my engineer's there. Let's go ahead and play some PSAs, and then we will come back and continue, God willing.
One moment. We'll be right with you with the public service announcement. This is American Muslim 360 broadcast, and you're listening to Care on Air, Civil Rights Hour with Attorney Edward Ahmed Mitchell.
I'm an American Muslim, and I have the freedom to say just about whatever I want. And that's a great blessing for my personal intellect, and I hope for the group intellect. I have a free speech right, and I'm proud of that right. But let me ask you, just because I have the right to say a thing, does it mean it's right to say it? Citizenship has its responsibility. When we speak, we should speak our mind, but we can also speak from our hearts. And when we do both, maybe it will help us all become better communicators and more responsible citizens. Even when we disagree, we can still be agreeable. Let's use our free speech wisely, because our expression can help or hurt. A public service announcement from AM 360 and CWSC. Don't give up the faith.
On behalf of the Community Wide Shura Conference, Board of Directors, the Mohammed Schools National Alumni Association, the Islam in America Movement, the Muslim Enterprise Institute, and all honorary co-chairs, you're invited to an unprecedented event for our Muslim and fellow faith community. We're marking the 10th anniversary of the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, American Muslim 360, with a family, friends, and community cruise to beautiful Cozumel, departing from the famous Florida Gulf Coast of Tampa on March 5th, 2020, aboard the magnificent Carnival cruise ship Paradise. Welcome aboard the CWSC 2020 National Intelligentsia Interfaith Cruise to Cozumel, featuring early welcome to Tampa by local faith communities. And then it's Bon Voyage to Western Caribbean Cozumel, recreation time, including daily congregational salat, halakha circles, and physical exercise, Juma at Sea, national symposium with panel discussions, call for and presentation of papers and awards, published authors, circles, celebrating the scholarship of our group intellect, and more groundbreaking intelligentsia presentations, unique artistic expression. Meet and greet the American Muslim 360 Radio National Talk Show host. Join hands in the Neighborly Needs Community Service Project. And then attend the CWSC AM 360 Black Tie Gala and Awards Ceremony, including recognition of all CWSC scholarship recipients. All of this in addition to enjoying everything the Paradise has to offer, including spas, 24-hour room service, shopping, shore excursions, movies, and activities for the whole family. Although we cruise in 2020, we only have a few weeks to get you the best prices. So don't delay in reserving your cabin and sharing the cruise with family and friends. Call 1-800-327-5782. That's 1-800-327-5782. And mention Community-Wide Shura Conference booking number 6DLB36. That's 6, D as in David, L as in Larry, B as in Bobby, 36. Visit CWSC for more information. We look forward to celebrating with you aboard the Paradise in 2020. Together, we can remake the world. It's a
Assalamu alaikum. This is Nirmat Shaheed, restorative justice practitioner for the Oakland Unified School District and host on AM 360's The Pearls of Women Quranic Mondays. We're asking you to help us make a difference in the life of a student. We need you to spread the word that CWSC is offering 5 college scholarships in the form of direct financial aid to students who qualify and are graduating from high school this year or current college students. Learn more and apply online today at cwsc.us. But hurry, the deadline for applications is June the 20th. Thank you for helping secure our next generation's intelligentsia. Assalamu alaikum.
All right, welcome back, everyone. Thank you, Martha, for the public service announcements. So this is, again, Edward Achman Mitchell from CARE, Georgia. You're listening to CARE on Air, the Civil Rights Hour. It's about 11:30 a.m. on March 13th, 2019. We're listening to a press conference that CARE, Georgia held yesterday in response to bullying and harassment of Palestinian kids at a middle school here in Georgia because these kids set up an exhibit at Multicultural Night about Palestinian history. They were falsely accused of posting a political statement attacking Israel, which is not true. They just posted a map, which they were trying to use to depict Palestine as it existed from 1920 to 1948 when these kids' grandparents lived there. And instead of finding this out, the school condemned them, threatened action against them, but it looks like they're walking that back now and things have calmed down. So anyway, but the press conference will share more of those details. So next you're going to hear from Dr. Elise Cohen, who is a Jewish-American activist and professor and the director of Jewish Voice for Peace Atlanta. That's an organization that advocates for Jewish values, peace, and justice, both here and abroad, especially in the Israel-Palestine situation. So Elise is going to be speaking right now.
Here and abroad to share some background, her perspective as a Jewish leader, and then we'll hear from Reverend Dr. Thanks,
Edward. Podium taller than me, no problem. Okay, so one of the things that I wanted to talk about was how Edward already said the family showed a map of British Mandate of Palestine from 1920 to 1946.
And the idea of the mandate was that eventually the Arab people in that region would gain independence. So I just want to start off with my own history. When a conversation around history and culture and survival is shut down because people are threatened by people raising their voices of people who've been the most marginalized, then we have a serious problem or an opportunity. And in this case, as a Jewish minority and a Middle Eastern and Hispanic Jew, I constantly have to assert myself in Jewish circles and American society because my history is not part of the history that's taught. So I want to start off with that. Palestine and many other regions in the Middle East were under Ottoman Empire for 500 years. And when the Ottoman Empire was losing ground during World War I, the British and the French did something really remarkable. They said, we're going to promise the Arabs independence at the same time that we're going to promise Jews independence. And even though the European Jews were coming as the Zionist movement from a different place, they were pitting these two groups against one another. And these were in the Hussein McMahon letters in 1915 that was promising Arab independence, and then in the secret Sykes-Picot agreement between the British and the French, where they split up these areas. So even though they were talking about independence, they actually were talking about taking over those areas for their own interests, economic and political gain. And then right after that, in 1917, the British supported the Balfour Declaration. And the Balfour Declaration said, we support a Jewish home in Palestine, but that was also left ambiguous. So when we look at this and we think about the history and we think about what these Palestinian families brought to the table, they were actually bringing a history that's almost never told. They were also bringing a history that most people, when they look at a map, don't even know the region. And so whoever was objecting to these maps clearly needed to stop and ask a question of curiosity. And so one of the questions I wanted to, or one of the things I wanted to raise was that though there's been a series of peace processes, all to promoting self-determination, independence, and a state, Palestinians have never been given the right to actually create a state. And that there was a discussion about even a Palestinian state on the last remaining 22%. And Edward was showing the map of the territories, the Palestinian territories that the State Department and international world recognizes as still Palestinian territories, not Greater Israel. When Palestinians express their history through maps and through their artifacts, they're sharing history of ethnic cleansing, cultural survival, and resistance to military occupation, while they're also hoping for the international world to support their freedom for equality like every other human being on the planet. And as a professor and a teacher, when I teach a subject, these are the exact maps I would be showing. And I would be showing the different perspectives and the different histories and to see the current situation. In fact, growing up in the Jewish community, and Edward alluded to it, is the maps that I've gotten in living in Israel multiple times were the maps that didn't show any part of the Palestinian community, no part of the West Bank, no part of Gaza that was distinguished. Even if I rented a car in Israel, the map wouldn't let me know whether or not I was going into the territory. So victors of war and occupying powers don't usually willingly share their histories and struggles of those that oppress, control, ethnically cleanse through various state policies. So it's typical for American public not to know these maps. Instead of feeling threatened, the parents and school administration should acknowledge the pain that's caused by dispossession and ethnic cleansing, and also acknowledge Palestinian history so that the ability to reclaim forms of justice and homeland are possible, and also a discussion in this larger atmosphere. So I do think that they should be able to talk about it, but not in this particular way. And as a U.S. citizen, when I see the map of Native American tribes, I take a, it's a breathtaking moment to say, as a U.S. citizen, do I actually think about the lives lost in the cultural genocide and what I need to do as a citizen to fight for Native American rights? Or do I immediately shut it down and say, this is an impossibility and this is bigotry, reclaiming that? I would never do that. So this is an opportunity. A compassionate response should be one of curiosity, asking questions, learning history and perspective, and a desire to bring about compassion and justice in any way possible. And for especially the Jewish people who've been outraged by the expression of Palestinian ethnicity, nation, culture, and history, this would be a good time to look and listen. A new perspective that you're probably not accustomed to, rather than attack these families and students for sharing their history and culture. I feel sad that they only have one perspective and a fear of different truths coming out that may force them to take a look at their own beliefs in the history that they've learned in order to learn other viewpoints. So again, this is an opportunity. It's great to hear that the school is willing to have an open conversation with these families. I would encourage the larger community to participate in those. and in a way that actually is one of curiosity and compassion.
So next I'm going to introduce Reverend Dr. Fahad Abakal again. Reverend Fahad is a Palestinian Christian, lived in Atlanta for a long time. He was born in what was then known as Mandatory Palestine many years ago. He may not want me to say what year, but he still looks very young, great-looking guy. And I wanted to share his perspective on the situation, his own personal history.
I don't know what was the plan, but they left me as a minister to the end to focus on peacemaking, healing, and reconciliation. I feel that when I heard the story, we need both the teacher, the principal, the rabbi, and the community to focus on a teachable moment. My name is Fahed, and I was born 25 miles northwest of Nazareth in the Galilee area. When I was born, it was 1944. The place was called Mandate Palestine. So when I was coming here, I showed Wally with the map of the National Geographic, 1947, says Palestine. So as I think about my own story, I think about a small Palestinian village, 25 miles northwest of Nazareth, in the Galilee area, and in 1948, basically we were leaving home, and I was going with my father, five sisters, and two brothers. And as a four-year-old kid, you look to who? Your mother. And I can see myself looking at the television screen right now, running around dad, my five sisters, and two brothers. And suddenly I look, and my mother was on the top of the roof waving her hand. We left her from the village Kufr Yassir, and we went to the mountain east to a place called Yirka. And after several months, we came back. My mother lived to be 86. My father lived to be 96. They became citizen of the state of Israel. And but when we came back, five Palestinian villages were destroyed to the ground. And as I think about the creation of the state of Israel, it was created over a Palestinian state. 530 Palestinian villages and towns were destroyed. Homes, churches, mosques, land, and so forth. And the only thing remained after the creation of the state of Israel from Palestine, it was said, only 22%. So as I think about history, no one is going to take history from the Israeli Jews. Nobody is going to be able to take history from the Palestinians. Today, at the Project South, we're going to hear a woman. It's almost 84 years old. And she's only 5 miles from my village, in a village called Zeeb. Imagine, this is on the beach, and the mosque is being desecrated, and it's a swimming area next to the beach. She's going to say to the audience, what happened in 1948? So as I think about the beginning of what I said, it needs to be a teachable moment. We are living in the United States of America. We are all citizens. Instead of using what they've been using to bully the kids and the parents and the school, we need to do the opposite. Take a break and see how do we learn the history of one another. So I challenge rabbis that have been speaking out. I challenge the parents. How do we learn Israeli Jewish history? How do we learn Palestinian history? And how can we be a bridge for reconciliation between Israel and Palestine? Thank you.
Thank you, Reverend Fahed. So with that, we'll
may you speak to whether the modern day map also in that exhibit is not one?
So the modern day map of Palestine exists today. So no, they only had the historical map because the purpose of the event was to celebrate their cultural history. And so for these particular kids, funny thing, Reverend Fry talked about what his family went through. These kids, their grandparents had the exact same story. They lived in Mandatory Palestine. They were expelled from Mandatory Palestine. And so that is their history. That is the state to which these families trace their lineage. So that is why they had that map set up. It wasn't about the future. It was about the past. The other thing I think is important to mention is that I'll leave
you. You know, I wanted to say something that any time I teach about Israel and Palestine, are always saying we need to hear two narratives, an Israeli Jewish narrative, a Palestinian narrative. After living in America for more than 50 years, I know it very well. Not in school, not in college, not in the church, and not in the culture, not in television, we ever hear the Palestinian narrative. It's a dead narrative in the American psyche.
Can you also speak to the cartoon that was
right.
part of the and revealing from the Jewish community
yeah.
that it represents in the anti-Semitic?
So, look, number one, we're not even sure what that cartoon is or the origin is, but I see no evidence that it's anti-Semitic or bigoted or anything like that. If there is such evidence of that, I'd love to see it and we'll address it, but I have not seen any evidence of that picture, which is just from, as far as I can tell, a little boy with his hands behind his back. I think it may symbol a boy being victimized, part of the occupation. But again, recognizing Palestinian history and what they're going through right now, it's not bigotry. Just like recognizing an Israeli victim of terrorism would not be bigotry against Palestinians. That's crazy talk. So, again, I'm happy to see any information they have, but I have not seen that. I think that people are exaggerating, jumping to conclusions, and really assuming the absolute worst about everything about this.
According to the official record, that cartoon is representative of a organization that was against the occupation and their mind is anti-Semitic.
Well, look, if I
just want to say that it's a cultural symbol and a symbol for liberation for Palestinians. And you are going to have Palestinians who actually want the Israeli military occupation to end because, like us in the United States, they don't live under a civil law. They actually live under military law. So they can't go to court and go to a civil court. They have to go to a military court. So there are many Jews that are threatened by it, but usually because they don't understand that it's actually a symbol or desire for liberation and for freedom and equality. So that's a symbol you will see all over Palestinian areas. People wear it here. Some Jewish people wear it who support human rights for Palestinians. So it's not something that's out of the blue. I think it's just one of those things that ends up threatening people in the Jewish community because they haven't taken an opportunity or a chance to, like, ask some questions about it and be curious about why they're struggling for this, for these particular rights.
I just want to say, thank you, Elisa. I've been educated as well now about that. But I just want to say something. Anti-Semitism is real. Anti-Semitism is dangerous. It is one of the oldest evils on earth. And real anti-Semites pose a serious threat to the Jewish community here and around the world. But when we make exaggerated or fake allegations of anti-Semitism to silence legitimate criticism of the Israeli government, we're undermining the very important fight against real anti-Semitism. So I just want to say that anyone who expresses a concern about anti-Semitism, I respect that. It is important to consider that and to fight that as much as we can. But we've got to make sure that we are not spreading false allegations. Just like criticizing the Saudi Arabian government is not Islamophobic, criticizing the Israeli government is not anti-Semitic. And so we've got to make sure to make that distinction. So, but I'm glad at least.
Supported Palestinian human rights is also not anti-Semitic. And speaking as a Jewish person who does this work all the time, there's a lot of confusion.
And I really want to correct the terminology.
Anti-Jewish hate really is the word meant to refer to anti-Jewish. So that is true, and we all acknowledge that it's something that has to be fought and condemned. But these kids, 13-year-old kids, are not anti-Semitic. They're not part of Hamas. They're not terrorists. They've been accused of being, and this has got to stop. Yes.
After there was an uproar on Friday,
footage of the principal actually walking through the crowd on his way to the Palestine
display boot. And according to the family, they offered him to the Palestinian falafel. So I will let Principal Martin speak for himself, but I just want to make very clear. The school approved this exhibit. The school did nothing wrong by approving the exhibit. And the kids did nothing wrong, just like they didn't do anything wrong when they approved the Israel exhibit. So I'll let the principal speak for himself. So, nothing physical as far as I know. I'll give you one example. Two young girls were friends with each other. After hearing about this, a girl approached her Palestinian friend and said, there is no such thing as Palestine. Jerusalem is the capital of Palestine. Said, we're not going to be friends anymore. Jerusalem is the capital of Israel, and we're not going to be friends anymore. They had an argument about it, right? The kids have seen online these news stories in which local religious leaders have called the kids, even though they know they were kids at the time, terrorists and Hamas and all that. So the kids have phones. The kids have social media, so they're seeing all this. And because when this photo was posted online on social media, if you just look at the comments that are being posted on that, all sorts of horrible stuff the kids are seeing. So the kids are in school right now. I'm hoping to get positive news at the end of the day because they didn't experience anything new today. We'll see. But I'm hoping the school, they can, to protect these kids, because the school made this worse by not gathering the facts and making this into a big thing instead of just quietly addressing it. So the school has an obligation to protect these kids from bullying. Well, so number one, the school has not punished any children. So there is no need for any legal action right now. The school threatened to punish the people responsible for the map. The school opened an investigation. But as long as the school does not actually act on those threats, again, we're ready to meet, we're ready to sit down and sort this out. So now if the school were to punish the kids, that would be wrong because, again, the kids did what the school allowed them to do, didn't violate school rules. Number two, the school cannot allow a map of Israel with broader borders while banning an old map of Palestine that violates the First Amendment. You can't favor one speech over the other. So right now the school is not taking that step, but at the next multicultural night, if they want to ban everyone from showing a map, they can do that. But as long as they let people, they've got to allow Palestinian and Israeli American kids show these maps if they want to. They cannot favor some speech over the other. So, again, I think the school made a snap, knee-jerk reaction within 12 hours of getting all the emails and social media storm, and they didn't really think this all the way through, or I guess talk to their lawyers. But I'm sure they're doing that.
All right, so the press conference goes on for a bit longer, but I think you've got the point. So that's what we've been dealing with here in the state of Georgia the past week or so. And the positive news is that we've heard back from the school superintendent and the principal. We're going to be meeting with them next week, God willing, and hopefully sort this out and move forward in a positive way. We've also been in communication with members of the Jewish community in the area who've been very gracious in offering to arrange meetings. And so we're hoping to really turn this into a positive thing at the end of the day, a positive, teachable moment. And what I would encourage people across the country to keep in mind is that, you know, the day of Palestinian history and the plight of the Palestinian people being erased from our discourse, that day is over. It is okay in America, and it should have always been okay for us to discuss human rights issues all around the world, including the plight of the Palestinian people. We can talk about this issue without engaging in bigotry, without saying anything offensive, certainly without engaging in anti-Semitism, which is unacceptable. You know, we should be able and must be able, and God willing will, address the issue of Palestinian human rights. And as for kids in school, you know, they weren't even trying to get into the politics of all this. They were just trying to celebrate Palestinian history. So for them, it wasn't even about making a statement. It was just celebrating their families, recognizing their families' history. And so kids will, God willing, still be able to do that here in Georgia if we have anything to say about it, and they must be able to do that around the country. So should Jewish kids and Christian kids and Muslim kids and Palestinian, Israeli, British, whatever, everyone's speech has to be treated equally within the public school system. With that, it is 11:50 a.m. I will pause now, see if you have any questions from anyone on the line, and if not, then I'll let our engineer play us out with PSA. And we did not receive any questions over this past week from anyone online. So, again, as a reminder, if you want us to address any particular topic during a program, any particular legal issue, please do send us an email so that we can address that issue, God willing. All right, not hearing any questions. Let me check the studio here, make sure we're not missing anybody. Yeah, not hearing any questions. Not hearing any questions, so I guess we will close out with PSAs. Next Wednesday, March 20th, God willing, we hope to, inshallah, we hope to see you all, speak to you all then. In the meantime, feel free to reach out to your local care chapter. There are over 30 care chapters around the country, California, Texas, New York, Ohio, Florida, obviously Washington, Pennsylvania, all over the country. So feel free to reach out if any issues arise. And we will talk to you next week. Assalamu alaikum.
Al-Muslimu Islamic Center welcomes you to our weekend conference, Marriage is Happier Deen, Married and Single Social, March 15th, 16th, and 17th at the beautiful Crown Plaza Hotel in St. Louis. We are honored to have Imam Dr. Nasir Ahmed as our guest to feed. Friday, we will have a single social followed by a culture night extravaganza with music from Islamic Force and more. Saturday, the itinerary is set to begin with a halal breakfast at Golden Pancake. Later, you can participate in an off-site excursion to the St. Louis Gateway Arch. Mark Shaheen will facilitate a workshop titled Sailing the Seven Seas, From Courtship to Partnership, in a panel discussion with distinguished guests, including Imam Dr. Nasir Ahmed, Imam Bashir Ali, the National Convener of Imams, Minister Donald Muhammad of Mosque 48, Imam Kareem Hamid of Al-Muslimu Islamic Center, Bahar Bastani of Dar es Salaam Mosque, Linda Bilal of Chattanooga Islamic Center, Manera Habil, the co-host of Courtship and Marriage on AM 360. All of this will lead us to our grand banquet where we will honor those who have maintained longevity in their marriage. We'll also hear an address on marriage from our keynote speaker, Imam Dr. Nasir Ahmed. Sunday, we will wrap up the conference with Pauline. To register, go to marriagesinglesocial.eventbrite.com or contact Radia Mufin at 314-283-0417 or Medina Wakil at 314-330-4481. We can't wait to see you there.
And before you part, dear listening audience from the studio, and for those who are listening by way of the 24-hour streaming at 701-719-4197, we want you to know to check back in this evening at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time with Criminal Justice Reform. That's with Imam Hananiah Shabazz. At 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Imam Bilal Saleem with Prisoners Reform. At 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Dr. Amina Ali with Birth of Women. And 9 to 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, the tag team, Dr. Amina Ali and Imam Hananiah Shabazz with Breaking the Habit. Please join us again live here in the studio. And at that time, you'll be able to hear the phone number from the host to dial in and speak with the host, or share your comments, ask your questions, and continue to go to cwsc.us. That's cwsc.us, to the website, and view all of the information about the cruise that will be departing March 5th, 2020, from Tampa Bay. Yes, we welcome you to join us. The moment to go dial the number, get the number when you go to the website and dial in and get your deposit made now before the amount rises because of not enough registration, early registration. So we welcome you. Now, we're going to share with you some information from the executive director that is important for connecting or communicating with American Muslim 360 and Community-Wide Shura Conference. Please stay tuned with us. Assalamu alaikum. Thank you for being right here with us on American Muslim 360 broadcast, the most listened to Islamic radio station in the nation.
slap on my face.
Yeah.
And I upset Sonny Liston, and I just turned 22 years old. I must be the greatest.
Uh-huh.
I told the world, I talk to God every day. If God's with me, can't nobody be against me.
That's right.
Shut up the world.
Assalamu alaikum. God's peace be with you. You're listening to American Muslim 360 Radio Network at am360.org on the dial. This is Mukhtar Muhammad, Executive Director for Community-Wide Shura Conference, CWSC, the parent corporation for American Muslim 360. And we welcome you to either our live programming or podcast, where we feature encore best of the best pre-recorded programming. We invite you to visit us at cwsc.us to view our live programming and podcast schedule and our calendar of events. For either live or podcast programming, you can stream at am360.org or dial 701-719-4197. Again, that's 701-719-4197. Any hour of the day or night to enjoy 24-hour quality programming. For our live broadcasts, you can be part of the conversation in real time and share your opinion directly with the host or guest and audience. Just listen for call-in information during our live programming. We ask that you refrain from calling in while you're behind the wheel driving, even if you're using a hands-free device. We want you to be safe. Once you've pulled over or arrived at your destination, we welcome you to call into our studio. When it comes to our podcasts, over the years we've produced thousands of episodes with timeless knowledge applicable to the human condition. And although an episode may have been produced in the distant or near past, the knowledge shared is just as vital now as it was when it was recorded live. But we have to update you with our latest contact information and on how you can become a friend of the station and CWSC and help keep us the place where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. So grab a pen and paper or your smartphone to take down some important information. If you want to leave us a listener comment, or maybe you've got a programming idea you'd like to share, and we hope you do, here's how. You can email us at info@cwsc.us. That's info@cwsc.us. You can also record a comment on our listener comment line at 910-317-0297. Again, that's 910-317-0297. And we may even share your comment on air. You can send us a message on our website, cwsc.us. We're also on Facebook. And we ask that you like our page. Just look for Community-Wide Shura Conference. Shura is spelled S-H-U-R-A-A. Again, S-H-U-R-A-A. That's Community-Wide Shura Conference. And share our Facebook page with your friends. Tweet us at CW Shura. You can also find us on Google+, and the LinkedIn platforms. We also need your financial support, and it allows us to keep bringing you the quality programming you've come to depend on. And your support allows us to expand our Intelligentsia services. To make your tax-deductible gift, look for the blue donate button at the top of our home pages at cwsc.us. Make a one-time contribution or become a recurring contributor and help us know we have your support each and every month. And of course, you can cancel at any time. If you want to mail in a contribution, make your check or money order payable to CWSC Inc. That's CWSC, INC. And send to Marina Village, M-A-R-I-N-A, Marina Village, 4905 34th Street South, number 185, St. Petersburg, Florida, 33711-4511. Again, that's Marina Village, spelled M-A-R-I-N-A, 4905 34th Street South, number 185, St. Petersburg, Florida, 33711-4511. Finally, you should know that our broadcasting center is part of a family of Intelligentsia components, from scholarships and historical preservation programs to National Speakers Bureau, Think Tank, Volunteer Human Resource Network, and more. Unlike any other radio station, AM360.org encourages you to engage with the group intellect on any number of issues affecting society. And we offer you the opportunity to become engaged in working with the group intellect to help address the issues you feel passionate about. While you're at CWSC.us, look for MCNRD. That stands for the Model Communities National Resource Directory. It's a catalog of persons from around the country, just like you and me, who've listed their knowledge, their skills, and expertise, and are willing to help communities anywhere in the country. Plus, you get a chance to meet new believers and work on issues together frequently without leaving the comfort of your home. And it's all possible because of the MCNRD and the 21st century technology that Allah has blessed us with. So keep listening, and we hope you'll register in the MCNRD, because together we can remake the world. Assalamu alaikum.